Plan for De-Anger Thursday. Been There Series, Week 2. First thing is to take a moment and ask God what He wants to show you before listening today. You can even pause this for a moment if needed. Next is the daily. A prudent person sees trouble coming and ducks, a simpleton walks in blindly and is clobbered. Proverbs 22:3. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail is a quote attributed to Benjamin Franklin, but many argue there is no evidence that he actually said it. Either way, I love it. Why? Because I like to always have a plan. I like to operate with details and love when I can schedule every detail of my life. My family used to call it robotic. My wife calls it military because she loves me and it sounds cooler, and the people I work with just call it weird. I usually try to plan my day as soon as I wake up and ask what are the 2 to 3 most important things I need to do, and then plan everything else around it. This following schedule brought me great joy recently, even though I realized just looking at stress is some you outlaw. Even if you're not like me, you still make plans. If I know I'm going to hit heavy traffic, and my wife won't be in the car wanting quality time together, I have a podcast queued up. When I know I'm going to talk to certain people or see their posts on social media, I prepare myself for what they might say that could make me mad. It's wise for all of us to make a plan for our anger. When I've been paying attention to my anger and know what situations in the past got me angry, I'm much less prone to getting irritated. You might want to think about doing the same. You maybe can't avoid anger, but you can avoid de-anger when you have a game plan prepared beforehand. Prepare a game plan for how to remain patient in those situations that consistently lead to anger. Take some time today to think back on what has irritated you recently or made you angry. What could you do to prepare yourself so, next time you're in a similar situation, you'll be able to keep yourself calm? It may be as simple as giving yourself a mental pep talk. Do whatever it takes to plan, in advance, how you are going to cut anger off at the pass. You can do this. Last but not least is your 2 prayers for the day. First, pray, God, what are you showing me, and what am I going to do about it? Second, ask God to help me to see one person that I can serve through a kind word, random act of kindness, or simple gift today. If you're listening through the Epic Life app, make sure you click the back button, then click to complete the reading. If you would like to keep listening for the 4x6 plan, which is how to read through the New Testament with 4 minutes per day, 6 days a week, then here goes. This is Mark chapter 15, verses 16 through 32. The soldiers took Jesus into the courtyard of the governor's headquarters, called the Praetorium, and called out the entire regiment. They dressed him in a purple robe, and they wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. Then they saluted him and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him on the head with a red stick, spit on him, and dropped to their knees in mock worship. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified. A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. And they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. They offered him wine drugged with myrrh, but he refused it. Then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw dice to decide who would get each piece. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. A sign announced the charge against him. It read, "The King of the Jews." 2 revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Ha, look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, save yourself and come down from the cross." This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Remember this: a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor, their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving: the needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift too wonderful for words. Don't forget to click back and complete your reading or comment on the app, and we'll see you tomorrow.